Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. I don't know how many episodes we're in right now, probably around 13, but you know, we've got a couple good episodes in, a couple more to go for the end of the season. On the other side of this screen here is Kyle. Kyle, how you doing?
As good as can be for a 3-10 team. Pretty much toast for fantasy this year. But the Packers are looking all right, so it can't be all bad. How about you?
I was going to say a very positive outlook on your team this year. It probably helps that you won last year, but I'm just saying. It makes it a little easier to lose.
Sometimes you get these years. Even looking at my team now, I'm like, it doesn't look that bad.
It doesn't look like it's just a lot of bad luck.
The worst team in the league. But it is.
For me, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Getting excited for playoffs. Getting our teams get finally tested for a championship. Obviously, the Lions beat the Bears in a pretty stunning fashion. That was a good way to start the week. So I've had a very good football week for myself.
That's good to hear. I guess we'll jump into it then. We'll start with the Fab Bet results from last week, as we always do. So we bet on who would score more on Thanksgiving, the Lions, who are the highest scoring team in the NFL this season, or the Packers. And the Packers beat them before halftime by scoring 24. The Lions only got 23 total all game. Packers did get a little more. They got to 30 total. But they won this one. So everyone who voted for the home team, congrats to yourself. Well, except for Jim. You voted on your home team.
Hey.
And Ashley couldn't vote on her home team.
She was an honorary Packer fan, right?
Yeah, for this week. So no, congrats.
She didn't win. Never mind. Yeah. She was an honorary Lions fan.
Yep. Oh, yeah, she didn't bet on him. So, yeah, so congrats to Tiff, myself, Mike, and Scoots. Like I said, don't bet against the home team. Majority lost this one. So our bet for next week, we didn't really know what to do on this one. We came up with an interesting one. So Richard's whole team is pretty much on bye this week. So he needs to find two running backs, I think a receiver, a kicker, probably a quarterback, because Aaron Rodgers is his starting quarterback currently. So we're going to go over-under on Richard. And the points we decided to go with is 90. So we're going to bet. I'll send it on the group chat as I always do, but it's going to be over-under 90 for Richard.
And to put that in perspective, we only had like probably four or five games under 100 points this year. I don't think there's been that many.
Yeah, I think the average score in our league is probably like 110, somewhere around there, yeah. So that's a fairly low score, but he is in rough shape for putting together a roster this week. So if you want to wait,
he's been making good decisions all year. So we'll see. He might pull it out.
Yeah. Bets need to be in before kickoff on Thursday Night Football. So you can wait to see what he does on waivers if you want to. But that'll be the fab bet for the week. Then we'll get into the old Malort shot for the week. So our bet of the week was we just bet on the Eagles versus the Ravens, so kind of the best part of the game of the week. And it was a good game, but I took the Ravens, Jim took the Eagles, Eagles won. I was kind of upset about this one. I mean, the Ravens had a good lead. Justin Tucker he missed an extra point and two field goals. Eagles got a good false start on a tush-push that didn't get called. I don't know. Did you watch this game?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
The announcers were like, "Ooh, that was a false start." It's like when it happened, and they just didn't call it. I don't think it doesn't recur. It wasn't even third down, so they couldn't have done it again, anyways. Well, no, they couldn't because they would have backed up. But I mean, they got it. That shit happens.
I think I do remember that now. I think there was a play. It seemed like it was a little early, but yeah, nothing was called.
It was for a touchdown. I mean, they were on the 1 yard line when they did it.
Yeah,
I think it was. Was it Romo casting that one? I think he was like right away. He's like, "Ooh, that's a false start."
Yeah, I think it was Romo.
Touchdown discounted. Yeah, Justin Tucker he needs to get out of that funk. For the Ravens, they're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs. He needs to figure that shit out.
This is going on for 2 years now. Yeah, he wasn't that good last year. He's got the yips. And I wonder if it's because he's just maybe lost a little bit of power in his leg. And he's just not able to hit it quite as well as he used to. maybe he's like overcompensating because of that. Now he's starting to be a little more left and right. Cause like, yeah, he used to be automatic. He's been having a rough couple of years here. What is he like? 35, 36.
I think. He's up there. So, I mean, yeah, as you get older, I mean, joints don't work quite as well. Your muscles get sore. And it, like you said, if he's getting older and he's trying to compensate somehow and he's just, you know, fucking it up because he's hooking it because he's trying to adjust the way he does it. But that's not good. I mean, I think he's shooting like 70% this year, which is just terrible. Like, you're going to lose playoff games if that's what you're going to the playoffs doing.
So hopefully he can figure it out before that. He's not trustable at this point. They have to start considering a replacement. I think he's been that bad. It's not like this has just been a couple weeks, you know, like you give that guy another season. This has been 2 years.
The problem with the replacements is who you're going to get that's better. You can replace them, but it's probably going to be about similar output. The Packers got kind of lucky with McManus just because he had off the field issues that he got released from his team.
Yeah.
But oftentimes you're not going to find someone better that's not playing in the NFL right now.
Yeah, maybe you do just kind of stick with him. Hopefully he figures it out. I mean, he's maybe the best kicker of all time. So it's like you give him a longer leash than the average guy.
That's all you can do. You just cross your fingers and hopefully he figures it out. But I mean, regardless, the Eagles won, so I'm going to down my shot here.
You starting to change your tune to the Eagles yet?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of mentioned it last week, I think.
Yeah.
I just thought the Ravens were still better than the Eagles, but we kind of talked about the NFC. And I kind of said, like, yeah, I think the top tier of the NFC is the Eagles and the Lions. They look like they're on top. And then it's kind of a tier break after those two. They look like the best teams in the NFC. I thought the Ravens were one of the best teams in the AFC, but maybe they're not. The Bills are kind of running away with that.
I think if you take and look at the teams the way they are today, I think the Eagles are a better team than the Lions just because the injuries that are coming up for the Lions. The Eagles are pretty healthy, and they're similar built to the Lions.
Their defense is way, way better this year. I didn't think it'd be that much better. Jalen Hurts is playing better this year. If you just look position to position, too, I mean, O-line, who's better, Eagles or Lions? It's pretty close. I don't know if I give one to either, but...
Probably depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
A bunch of Lions are probably better for pass blocking. The Eagles are better for run blocking.
Yeah. But your running back, Saquon's better than either of your running backs, but you have two really good running backs. That's almost a wash.
Are two guys combined to Saquon? Is that probably equal Saquon?
Yeah.
I'd say. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So you have the benefit of... If an injury happens, you're good. But the Eagles have the advantage of we just have the dude. You know, he can do the Montgomery role and pound it, or he can do the Gibbs role and receive it and do the crazy shit. Receivers, I'd have to give it to the Eagles. Yeah.
That's pretty
You got Amon-Ra, but they got Smith and AJ Brown.
We definitely have
a better tight end.
J-Mo. That J-Mo's, could end up being better than Smith, I would say. Hmm. He's kind of like the upside guy.
That's true.
I'd probably say, he's probably comfortably the number four on that list, but his big games could be a difference maker.
Yeah. And Amon-Ra's great at what he does, but he's not AJ Brown either. AJ Brown can kind of do, he's like that big bodied, huge receiver. He can kind of do all kinds of shit.
I think it's easier to see why AJ Brown dominates a game, but I think they both dominate games pretty much the same way. They're like the same impact. Like they do it different ways. But yeah, if you go point to point right now with the Eagles, I think they would outpace the Lions pretty much at every position. If they're not tied, they'd probably be a little better just because the Lions injuries right now on defense are really starting to catch up.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. I think it comes down to the defense. I think they've got you notched on that department. Because you guys are getting beat to shit. But yeah, that's that shot. There will be another one based on our long-term bet. We'll get to that when we talk to Heaves later. But the bet for next week, we're going to keep it simple. We're going to go back to our Thursday Night Football roots, and we're going to bet Packers versus Lions. So I'm taking the Packers and Jim's taking the Lions, shockingly.
But no one's not coming.
Yeah. Should be a good one, though. We'll get more into those teams when we get into the NFC North stuff. Week 11 highlights. I'm kind of minimizing this section of the show because it just goes on for too long. So I only put one thing, and it's fucking Chiefs. Dude, they can't keep getting away with this bullshit. I cannot believe that they're 11-1. It's unreal. They just keep winning. There's so many games this season that they have not. I don't think that they've deserved to win. I don't think they played the better game than the other team, but they get the win anyways. So this one, it comes down to the last play of the game so often with these guys. This one they won. So there was a they snapped the ball, and it was a missnapped. The dude fumbles it. Chiefs jump on it. It was a turnover. The team was down by what? I can't remember how much they were down by. It was a small amount. Like the opponents were in position to win the game. But then one of the refs comes flying off the sideline. He's, you know, rolling his hands in the travel signature. He's like, false start, false start. Then all the refs get together. They decide, nah, it's not a false start. It was an illegal shift, which you're allowed to snap the ball after an illegal shift versus a false start. And therefore, the snap counts, the fumble counts, the recovery counts. Chiefs get the ball, game's over. They take a knee, and that's it. So, Chiefs they just can't lose this year. Now they can lose once to the Bills.
I saw a quote, if you take away the last 2 minutes of every game for the Chiefs this season, they're one of the worst teams in the league because they just keep winning in like the final 2 minutes of the game over crazy stuff. And it's actually not that far off the truth.
Take away the last 30 seconds, that's 3 more losses right there, I would think.
Well, I'm not really too worried about them. I don't think they're the team out of the AFC this year. I think their record does not showcase how good of a team they are.
Yeah. We all said this last year, though, too. And
on the Super last year, you could still see it a little more, I think. This year, it's a little more doom than gloom.
Yeah. Their offense looks way worse this year, I think, than it did last year. And then their defense isn't like holding teams to that low of scores anymore either.
Like they started out strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had a couple bad games. I picked them up as a defense in fantasy, and they've been like kind of garbage since I grabbed them, which was a couple weeks ago. So they have not been as impressive as the record would show.
I mean, there were some other good matchups this week. There was the Bills and the Niners in the snow game. That was a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everyone watched it. It's always fun to have one of those snowy.
Do you know that one touchdown catch of his was actually a 10-point play?
Yeah, I've got it under Tiff's matchup. Oh, did you? Oh, sure. Yeah, Josh Allen, yeah. Yeah, passed the ball to himself for a touchdown. Touchdown pass and touchdown reception all in one to one person. Yeah. But yeah, he ran another one in. There was that. Yeah, I mean, the running. Yeah, it's just fun to watch the snow games. It's just, you know, nobody can block quite right. Running backs, you know, they get that one cut and they're gone because nobody can turn and catch up to them because they got to like try to wrap around, but they can't get the traction to do it.
Every time I think of it, it's a game we lost against the Eagles, actually, where LeSean McCoy set like an Eagles record for most rushing yards in a game. It was against the Lions in a snow game.
Yeah.
And then like that famous picture of Megatron coming up off the ground with all the grass and snow in his helmet. It's just like, man, I remember that game so well because it was just a crazy back and forth game. And I wasn't even mad the Lions lost because it was just so fun to watch. So yeah, snow games are the best.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they happen every week. It'd be annoying, but it's nice that they happen, like, once or twice a year. You get one of those crazy games where it's just like, oh, shit.
That or, like, the big mud games where it's just so much rain. That remember when the Bears beat the Niners in the game last year and Justin Fields is, like, slip-sliding down the freaking field? It's like, yeah, what in the world are they playing in? Oh, man. It's a
torrential downpour.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are other games. We're not going to talk about them this week. We'll just jump right into the NFC North.
But before we do that, let's have a quick word with our favorite former ex-league mate,
Justin Huebner.
Hey, Heaps. How's it going? It's been a while.
I'm doing very well, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing good. Football was good this week. Fantasy, not so much, but I'm just waiting for the playoffs in there. So.
Yeah, loss doesn't even matter for you at this point. Even if you lose the next one, it wouldn't matter. Nobody can catch up. That's nice. So yeah, here you got some final stretch pre-playoffs power rankings for us, Hebes.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you got your work cut out for you. This is an incredibly tight league right now.
It is.
Besides, Jim's at 11-2. I'm at 3-10. Ash is at 5-8. So Ashley's out. Ashley can't get back in.
Yeah, Ashley and Mike are eliminated.
No, Ashley and me are eliminated.
Oh yeah, Kyle.
Everyone else is live.
That's right. Mike is still alive at what, 6-7? Yeah, everyone else 7-6.
Mike is at 7-6.
He can't get in because he needs points, I think, right?
From what I saw,
Mike has very low points, so that might be a problem for him.
He could still technically probably get in on off of win loss.
Top two teams in each division make the playoffs?
Okay, so here's how we do it in this league. The division winner will go in.
Okay.
So that's three of them. The best two division winners will get a bye. And then, for the last three spots, we do just the next two best records from any division. So it doesn't matter which division you're in. Okay. And then the last spot goes to the highest point scorer that is not already qualified. Okay. So you could potentially be 3-10 and go to the playoffs if you scored a lot of points, but you just kept getting fucked over by unluckiness every week.
Yeah.
That's not the case this year. I mean, my points are not nearly high enough to pull that off. But you get those years, and that's why we did it that way, just in case. So you can technically have four people from the same division go to the playoffs. But yeah, I'm curious what you got to say. If you want to start us up, we'll compare notes and see if we disagree or agree with you.
Well, I may have my issues upstairs, but I'm not dumb enough to not put Jim at number one. And then from here on down, it gets interesting. I've got Karsten's at number two.
I like that. He's got a very good team.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Yeah, I agree. I've got Tiff at three.
She's got a strong roster. She's been winning a lot lately.
And I'm sitting in fourth. I've got one Mr. Scott Jurekowicz.
That one, I don't know if I agree with, because he just lost Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason for the rest of the season. It's a huge kick in the nuts for him.
Well, I also have Christian McCaffrey, too, and he wasn't exactly tearing it up when he was in.
True.
But I was looking.
He does have Mason. That helps.
He's out too.
No, Mason's out too. He also. So
he's probably going to miss a month.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like, you didn't just lose Christian McCaffrey, but you still got Mason. It's like, you just lost the 49ers backfield in one game.
That's rough. I didn't realize Mason got taken out.
So who are his running backs right now?
He's got Chuba Hubbard.
Okay, he's been awesome.
And who else is he? Oh, Rashad White is the only other option right now.
That's kind of weak.
Yeah, I definitely want to put him that high, especially knowing that Mason's out too.
Okay, so you got Scoots at three?
Four.
I do.
Oh, yeah, four. Yeah.
No, I should have him at three. I had him at three.
You had me, and then you had
Karsten's.
Karsten's Tiff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I had Scott after Tiff. Yeah. Five, I've got Richard.
Because of Derrick Henry?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's automatic.
Kind of been slow the last couple weeks, though.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, I'm still not worried about Derrick Henry.
Okay. Who you got next?
I have Lee next.
See, I think I would put Lee above both of those guys. Both of the last two.
I would put Vicky over the last two as well.
Oh, that's interesting. I got Vicky next.
Vicky's team's pretty good.
It is pretty good. He's got to start with Jerry Jeudy, though.
Yeah.
Dude's been on fire since what's his nut started throwing the ball.
Damn, I drafted that guy, too.
Okay.
After Vicky, I've got... Oh, poor boy.
He's had a rough year.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of smart things. He made a lot of good decisions all year. Like, probably, if we looked at everyone's roster decisions, he might have done the best ones all year with trades and free agency. And he just can't seem to catch a break, though.
Yeah, that's been quite enough. Yeah. I mean, he's got a shot at the playoffs here. All you gotta do is make it in.
Right. Make it in. Get hot.
Win a couple games.
Sometimes you're just the team that scores 150 the last 2 weeks of the season and you win. You wouldn't even have a shot.
It's true, yeah. After poor boy, I've got Jackie.
She's had a pretty rough year, too. Her team used to be good, but then she traded Saquon Barkley away.
Who would go off and do something like that?
Right?
Yeah.
She picked up Tyrone Tracy, though. That was a very good move.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Saquon, though.
Trading for Brock Bowers.
Brock's been
fire.
He's like, if you just look at receivers, I think he's like number four in fantasy this year. Like he's behind Chase, Justin Jefferson, and I think one other guy. Like that's how good he is.
Yeah, he's been nuts. I kind of been revisiting my logic with that, and I feel like if you believe that guy's as good as you thought he was, you should have just drafted him like after like the top like three or four guys. Like that should have been the next guy. I think he was more around like 8 or 9. He's a generational talent.
Yeah, but the team was so bad. Like I don't trust people on bad teams.
I think I'm just gonna trust generational talent is all I'm trying to say in the future. Yeah. Like I'm gonna start drafting those guys a little bit earlier. If they don't have that kind of title, I might not. But like generational, it's like you might miss out on that season that's like, wow, that was one of the best values of all time just because you didn't take them. And it's like, yeah, you'll probably miss it a couple times, but when you hit it, you're going to feel so good every time you do.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackie Ed. Yeah, Tank Dell's been stinking this year, too. That was a bad pick.
Yeah, that's pretty much everyone on the Texans offense, minus Joe Mixon.
Yeah, they've been a big, big disappointment. I'm kind of shocked at that, because they have a good defense, too. So yeah. It's not just like they're just relying on their offense.
Well, she had the stack with CJ Stroud, too. He straight up dropped him because he's been so bad.
I saw over the last 6 weeks, he's ranked quarterback 33.
Yeah.
Ouch. Right.
That's how bad he's been the last 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Okay, so you got Jackie. Who do we got next? What are we on? Like number, is that number 9?
Somewhere around there.
Mike,
okay.
Rubber buns and liquor. Okay. That's Mike.
Yep. Yeah, Mike has too many quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Dobbins got hurt. That sucks.
Yeah, but that's like the baked in the price of him, though, right? Like everyone's like not drafting him high because of that. So you kind of you take what you get with him. Yeah. I feel like you can't rely on him as like your darn it, now my team's done for the year.
Like when I drafted, I was really like maybe he could be a solid RB2. And then he got hurt again.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, he's been a stud all year.
He's kind of a down year, though, for his
innings. I mean, yeah, but what's a down year for him? He's going to have 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, not 1,600, like 12 touchdowns.
I guess. Yeah, his receivers are great. And he's got Sam Laporta and TJ Hockenson. Yeah, those running backs are looking grim. And he's got the problem of, start the right quarterback, which is never easy. So you got Mike, he must be number 10. I think there's only two left that you haven't named.
Yeah, yet. Yeah, Mike's got 10. And then I've got Kyle at 11.
Yes.
Ooh, the upset. Oh, man.
Is it just because I'm on the show with you?
No. No, I just looked at number 12 and just kind of went bleh, all over. So That's why.
Yeah, my team ain't good. Quite bad. But it might be better than Ashley's. If it is,
Ashley better. Has too many Titans on it.
Yeah. He's got Baker and Nico Collins. Outside of that, I don't like anything on our team, honestly. Kaden's been all right, but
Bijan's great.
Oh yeah, Bijan. Yeah, that's right. Bijan. He's been hot.
That's like her one stuff. Like
yeah.
Game saver. Like she doesn't lose every game because she has Bijan.
Yeah, her problem was she lost Olave and Nico Collins was out for a long time.
Yep. Jim, that sounds just like the Falcons too. They don't lose every game because they have Bijan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Cousins is trying his damn well best.
Yeah, I just put Penix in at this point. Come on. I mean, you're not good. So just put him in.
I've heard a lot of rumblings about that than last week, or a lot of people are talking about it now. But yeah, the question is, and Penix is older too, so it's not like he's a young rookie that hasn't played a lot. Like he's played a ton of games. So, I mean, you could put him in at this point. Tell Lamar Jackson got his start to his career. I mean, he sat behind, was it Joe Flacco's there still?
That yes. Point? Yeah. I think that was right at the tail end of Joe Flacco. Yeah.
And they put him in like, and I don't know, it was over halfway through the season, kind of like around now, maybe.
I thought it was like week 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, he sat half the season and they're like, you know, we're not doing great. Let's see what we got with the new guy. He's had half a year to sit and study and learn, and now he's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Two-time MVP.
Sorry, I missed that last part. Who
are
you talking about?
Oh, we were talking about the Falcons.
Lamar.
If they should put in Penix.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because, I mean, do they owe Kirk Cousins money next year?
Yeah.
Oh, do they? They're stuck with that regardless. I mean, they're stuck with that regardless.
He's 3 years, I think.
Yeah, 3 years. They're stuck paying him a buttload.
And he got fully guaranteed, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it was all fully guaranteed, but it was a lot of fucking money guaranteed.
You're not getting out of it anytime soon.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I think he's definitely around the 50 mil mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he's throwing four picks and pretty much trying to tank games for you, seemingly.
I think you got to switch it up, honestly. I think he's been bad.
I think they got to, I don't know. They should just see what they have in Penix and then maybe do it like the Browns. I think the Browns should just cut ties with Watson.
Just
eat it and, hey, you made a bad call.
Yeah, I mean, for the Falcons, I mean, you're paying that money either way. Do you believe that Kirk Cousins will bounce back next year, or do you just move on and say, hey, the money's gone already?
What a crazy pick that would be for being, like, basically laughed at when it happened, and then to basically have that baked-in insurance that Cousins just wasn't the same after the injury.
Yeah. Kind of smart. Well, I mean, they're still alive for the playoffs. So I don't know what happens in at practice. Maybe Penix looks like he's not ready yet, and that's why they're not doing it. Or maybe Cousins looked good enough still, and now he's finally. This last game, that was a terrible game. I mean, like,
yeah,
much worse than that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. All right. I mean, at least you got Ashley in last, not me. I appreciate that. I'll take the small wins when I can this league.
Think sure, your team is
appreciate it as
think
well.
Your team is better.
Is that a Hall? Gonna be healthy for next week?
They played last week, so I assume he'll play.
I hadn't heard anything different.
Yeah, he got hurt before the bye, and then all of a sudden he was like questionable coming into last week. Okay. But then he played, so I think he should be good.
I was just reading something about like there's expectation that Allen might be getting more work.
I mean, maybe they'll try him out more because season's over, anyways.
Right,
there's always that possibility. I mean, that's this time of year with certain
would
players.
I'd love to see them try to bench Rodgers.
There's no way a team There's no way they'd bench him. I can't see it happening.
I think if they had like a decent backup, they would. But who's even the backup?
Yeah, who is their backup?
Is it Mariota?
They traded Wilson away.
Is it
like,
Mark?
He would have made sense.
I think it's Mark Mariota. I think it's like or if it's not him, it's like one of those kind of guys. I can look it up quick.
Mariota's in Washington.
Oh yeah, that's right. He stepped in for Daniels. I forgot. Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor. That's what it was. Tyrod Taylor.
I mean, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
One of those guys. Similar kind of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. There's really no upside with Tyrod. He's kind
of. No, and you're already out of the playoffs. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Rodgers. He has sucked really bad this year, which is pretty vindicating to see as a Packers fan when we traded him away. But I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, I feel like you can't just bench him at the end of his career. Like, yeah, I got benched halfway through the season. And that's how my career.
They did it to Peyton Manning in a playoff run.
Yeah, but then he came back for the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. So,
hey, I'm just saying, he was awful. Like that whole year, he was awful. It's Brock Lobster was worse. Didn't he even start a playoff game? Brock?
That year? Oh, yeah. Brock. He might have played one of the playoff
games. And then I think he got like injured or benched in the next game. That was a crazy year.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler made like $80 million off of that half season.
Yeah, he
like
cleaned
the Texans
up.
Paid him.
Yeah, that was he was another Matt Flynn situation, just cleaned up.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I was like trying to remember, but yeah, that's right. He got a pretty good sized contract and everyone was baffled. I was like, why are they doing this? We watched him, didn't we? No, I think I was with Jamie, with Vicky. Vicky and me went to Texans versus Packers in the middle of winter, and I'm pretty sure Brock was the starting quarterback, because I remember who's that receiver? Hopkins was the receiver.
Okay.
He was
over with Hopkins. He couldn't be a good quarterback.
Right.
It was terrible. Yeah, I mean, that Broncos team was just built to win. They had a fucking awesome defense. Like, they kept them in every game. It didn't matter how many points he scored.
Craziest thing is, like, 3 years before that, they had the best offense like we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then in 3 years, they switched it from like that offense to one of the best defenses we've ever seen. Like,
yeah,
that was a crazy 3 year run from that team.
I mean, that's kind of that was Peyton's downfall years. Like, same thing as what happened to Rodgers. Like, dude, you can't. Not everyone can play that old. And Peyton was not good that year at all.
But I think he was like 39 or 40. Yep.
Yeah. The Jets' defense was supposed to be elite, but not so much.
Yeah, they don't have Von Miller.
Yeah, yeah, that was
Broncos had Von Miller, who is probably one of the best pass rushers we've seen.
Wait, who do the Jets have? Who's their really old
that
pass
McDonald's
rusher?
Guy? Oh yeah, they do have an older guy. They traded for Reddick, Hassan Reddick.
Oh, is that who it was? I thought there was someone.
That was the guy I was holding out. They traded.
Yeah,
for
Yeah, that started off real well.
He held out for like half the season.
Yeah. And then threatened to not play at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Jets like to sign their real class act kind of guys.
Well, it was a team of... Yes, it was like a team of mercenaries. They just brought in everybody from everywhere and thought they could do something. It didn't work at all. So me and Jim had a bet on which coach was going to get fired first this year.
Oh, between McCarthy and Eberflus?
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I remember you guys talking about that. So who had what?
Jim had Eberflus would get fired first. I had McCarthy get fired first.
So Jim wins that bet.
Yeah. Yep.
I would have taken that bet just because the Bears never fire midseason. You never know with Jerry. Like, he's usually not, but it's Jerry.
At the time, the Cowboys were underperforming. They were both underperforming, but the Cowboys had expectations to perform. Versus, I felt like the Bears, you know, it's a rookie quarterback. They didn't have quite the expectations.
Yeah, but Eberflus is like a lame duck coach. I mean, I guess you could have said the same thing about
McCarthy's on a he's on like a lame duck deal. Like they didn't. This is the end of his contract is this year, and Jerry didn't extend him.
Yeah, so, he's definitely gone.
We'll see. You never know what Jerry. If he's like, if he likes you, then he'll just pay you anyway. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I still think they can't go another season with him.
Anyways, the point of that was I got to do a shot on Malort. I don't know. I know you're a you actually like Malort, so if you care to do a shot with me, I got to chug one down. I got to do two this week.
Give me 1 second so I can grab my bottle.
Yeah, do it up.
All right. Yeah, I'm not gonna let you do that by yourself.
I mean, Eberflus. Yeah, he's a terrible coach. We all knew he wasn't gonna be around next year. But man, that he deserved to be fired. We'll talk about it when we talk about NFC North more.
You're upset at him?
Damn, dude. three weeks in a row. Yeah. Just you did the absolute dumbest shit you could do.
Well, I think you potentially try to get fired. I can't for the life of me feel like how could someone do that bad in those situations and still come out and like say every time you did the right thing.
Yeah.
I think he was just doing everything he could.
The Vikings game is the only excusable one. Like they came back, they got to overtime, and then just, you know, Caleb got sacked and they had to punt. That shit happens. But against the Packers.
Mistake by Caleb.
Against the Packers, like they had time to run the ball at least one more time, maybe two more times before they kicked the field goal. So, you know, the dude missed it by 3 inches because someone got his fingers on it. And if you run the ball and get an extra yard or two, like you make that field goal. So he's like, nah, I'm just going to run the clock down from 50 seconds to zero and then kick the field goal. And then it gets blocked and you miss it. It gets fingertipped and you miss it by, you know, you hit the bottom bar. That's terrible coaching. Like, why not take the extra yards?
You might fumble the ball. That's the exact quote.
You might have, I guess.
You might fumble the ball. Yeah, someone might die in the field too, man. Like, that doesn't mean you don't do it.
And then, against the fucking Lions, he had 32 seconds left.
I don't know how.
And I get why you want to keep the timeout. Because, like, if you let's just throw it to the middle of the field instead of being relegated to the sidelines. So it's nice to keep the timeout. But when you see Caleb either not knowing what play they're supposed to do right now, trying to audible, whatever the fuck was going on there, you as the coach, you got to call the timeout and be like, all right, he doesn't know what to do. And also, as the coach, like, the quarterback, everyone on the offense should know what to do in that situation. There should have been a play designed for, like, okay, if this ever happens, this is what we're fucking doing.
I mean, that is how they don't drill the 2-minute drill.
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, if that was the Lions and they were in that spot, and they got sacked, and they're like, okay, we got 30 seconds. We got to get up, line up, snap this. We know the play. Everyone on the field knows the play. Fucking do it right now.
Yep.
They get up, they line up, they snap the ball. There's 25 seconds left. And, you know, they throw it out of bounds, whatever. But it doesn't take you 30 seconds to run the play.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they said that he had a play and then he knew they didn't have enough time to run it. So then he audibled it wouldn't work. I think it was a QB sneak. It's something really weird or like an quarterback draw.
Either way,
he didn't have enough time to run it. So that's why he decided to audible to like the game winning play because they were running out of time. I don't think he knew they had a timeout. Otherwise, Williams could have called the timeout.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback can do it. I don't know how often rookie quarterbacks call timeouts in the NFL.
I think if you're in the position to, you should, you know, I think they can change audibles at the line of scrimmage. I can't imagine they want to be allowed to call a timeout.
Yeah, it was wild. But anyways, you got your shot ready, Heaps.
I do. Yeah. Right.
Well, cheers to Eberflus.
Yeah. That's... cheers. And fuck Matt Eberflus.
For the Packers, Vikings and Lions.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We all tried our damnedest to lose to him, too.
Cheerio.
Everyone was ganging up. We're like, we need another season of Eberflus. Let's just let him go on a 3-game win streak against a division. No way they'll fire him. And then we all set him up to win.
Yeah.
All right. That was delicious.
Do you have one too, Heaps? Like the same Malort?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Heaps likes Malort. He's always got it in his house.
got a bottle. Well, he was still like, he's going, ooh, you know, I taking it. It wasn't like smooth, you know.
I have not been drinking any of it lately because I got so little of it left. I might only have like 2 or 3 shots left. And I don't know if Superior's got any right now.
I'll probably have to drink the whole bottle if these bets keep going this way. So
I was going to say, you can just have mine. I don't need it anymore.
I'm writing myself a note to go over there, and if they don't have it, I'll ask if they can order it. Because that's when I did it last. Yeah, because I've had the same bottle since last year. Because last year I bought the
mullet. I think they had like 5 of them when I went there to get. Me and Jim, we knew we were going to do these bets, so I went there and I just grabbed 2 of them. And they just had.
I wonder if they caught on, so they're keeping them in stock.
it's popular. Right. I mean, a lot of people know what it is. I don't think a lot of people like it, but people know what it is. It has its reason for existence.
I was talking to the bartender at Whiskey D's, and it keeps going off the shelf there. You keep buying cases.
If some people actually like it, is it not just like a joke of a shot, like you guys use it as? It's like a legitimate drink? Okay.
I've talked to a couple people that say they do legitimately like it. I always thought it was more of like, you know, you lose in bar dice and it's like, yeah, fuck all you guys.
I don't think it's like that bad, but it's not pleasant.
I mean, it's growing on me, I guess. I'll give it that.
I'll be the first to admit I have fucked up taste buds because I really like my IPAs too, my double IPAs. I still think Malort isn't as bad as some triple IPAs though. Ugh. Some of those, it's like,
Those things went off the deep end. I used to love IPAs when they first came about, but now they keep making doubles and triples, and I'm like, man, these things are just getting kind of gross.
They don't taste good anymore.
Yeah, they're so hoppy, they just dry out your mouth. I'm like, yeah.
And they're usually heavy as shit, and they're high alcohol content.
Mm-hmm.
But the best double I had was the Freaky 220 that Paul made for Pet Skull. That was delicious.
Yeah, I don't go over there too often.
I want to try and get down there soon. He's got his Black Dickey. It's a nitro, real dark beer. But it kind of tastes like a little bit like a Brandy Alexander. I don't know if you guys have ever had one of those.
Yeah,
I have not.
It's fucking delicious. It's one of the best beers I've ever had.
But yeah, I guess that's about it, right?
Yeah. Shot down. One teams shot ranked.
Down, we got the teams ranked. I'm not in the list. Huzzah.
Well, we could ask you who you think is going to win it all. Obviously, you have your power rankings. Like, take me out of the equation. Like,
okay.
Just kidding.
Take Jim out of the equation.
Well, you just ranked me number one. That's what I'm saying. So, like, realistically, if you rank someone number one, you probably think they're going to win it all. So I'm just saying.
I will say, for Jim, like, you might have an issue with Jamar Chase. If the Bengals lose another game. Because they're pretty much out of the playoffs already. If they lose one more, they're fucking out. Are you concerned at all about them being like, we're shutting guys down the last couple weeks of the season?
Teams don't really do that.
They might.
Did it last year because I lost Keenan Allen for the last.
If he's injured, they might sit him
out. Yeah, but he was injured, but he could have. He like had an ankle sprain, then he missed a month of the season. It's like, dude, he could have came back, but he just didn't because they're like, we're already toast.
Yeah. I think if they're already playing, I think there's like an injury concern and it's just like not worth it at that point to play the last 2 games of the season. And yeah, but
he also didn't get his contract in the off season. So you might just be like, nah, I'm just fucking sitting down. We're out of the playoffs. You guys didn't pay me. I don't want to play the rest of the season.
You'd get his ass chewed out by players if you did that.
I'm pretty concerned about it.
I don't think it'll happen. He'd get his ass chewed out if he did that to players. Like he would lose a lot of respect from like around the league. So there's no way he'd do that.
That would really hurt his free agent stock too if he's trying to get out.
He's definitely going to play his ass off, I think. Get a big contract. Because that's the other thing too. He doesn't want to lose out on the contract. So yeah, obviously he doesn't want to get
injured. He's still rocking number one receiver status as far as yardage. So
he said he doesn't want to be the number two baiter, so he wants to be number one. If you want to be the number paid receiver, you have to prove it every week.
He'll get that next year from some team, regardless.
Yeah. don't know. I wouldn't be worried. I wouldn't be concerned at all. I guess
I'm slightly concerned.
I'd be slightly concerned if he ends up in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson.
Sam Darnold just throwing dimes.
There's three LSU guys. Chase Jefferson and Addison.
Addison?
Yeah, wasn't Addison in LSU? Or no, was he
TCU? No, he was in Pittsburgh and then USC.
Oh, Jesus. Then I'm thinking of somebody else.
He started in Pittsburgh. He was playing with Danny Tuchel.
Oh, Jesus. I'm thinking of Brian Thomas Jr. with Jacksonville. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was the LSU.
Yep.
Well, what's it going to be, Heaps? Who's taking it? Think Jim's got it, or you think someone else is going to cause an upset?
Take me out of the list. You just rate me number one. Who do you think has the best shot? Because I think that's more interesting. Because we all kind of watch my team all year. It's like, let's talk about some other teams who might have a shot at winning it all.
I got to take another look at Carson's team.
I think Carson's has the best shot to upset you.
I'm not even like that.
His receivers are so good.
I'm not fully convinced. Everyone thinks my team's, I think, better shot at winning than I do. Like, my record's good. But yeah, I think, like, Carson's team... I mean, I just lost to Tiff. I think Tiff's team's good too.
Tiff's team is good. Yeah, I mean, you can lose games. It's been shown you can lose games.
Like, I've just been pretty fortunate this year. I've had no injuries. I've won on my bye weeks. The things that normally take and make you lose games. That's really all it is. But now it's like everything matters so much more again.
But you do have the most points by a pretty decent margin. So, I mean, your team is the best team this year. I mean, you have Barkley and Chase. That's huge.
Right.
Carson should win this week. He's playing Ashley.
Again, it only takes one good... I mean, I would have lost...
I mean, we're not in the playoffs this week.
No, next week. Next week, playoff starts. But, yeah, so this week is... I mean, with this many close teams, this week is huge with seedings and stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea who's going to the playoffs this year. It's all up in the air this week still. Other than me, Ashley, and Jim, it could be anyone.
Right, yeah, the end of the season is going to be kind of crazy. We don't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah, who do you think is the most likely to upset Jim? And that person might be in the loser's bracket after next week.
Definitely possible. You could look really bad with this take.
I am. I'm looking at current schedules and stuff first. Tiff's got a tough matchup this week against Lee.
My bold take was Carson's goes from worst to first this year, so I'm rooting for Carson's the rest of the way now. That's one of my bold takes anyways.
I would still like to see Carson win. I like to see the people who like basically didn't know what fantasy was until they started playing this league. I like seeing those people have success because it's just fun watching people get better and better every year. So I'd love to watch Carson's win it.
Slappy to slapper.
Well, no more slapping.
Ceremony now. Man, I'm going. Oh God, I'm going Tiff. Actually, Josh Allen, Gibbs. Connor's quietly putting up numbers every week.
Connor every year for like 5 years straight.
We'll see what happens now that Eberflus is gone, but Moore has looked good. And I think if they just let Caleb sling it, I think Moore is going to put up good numbers. Kelsey just always seems to start turning it on this time of year. I think she's stronger overall than Karsten's. Kyron's good. Lamar. Evans is generally pretty steady. Garrett Wilson's good. Jonnu Smith, man, that guy's come out of nowhere. I don't know.
Great pickup for him.
I mean, and Njoku had a good week last week. What do you have? Two touchdowns on Monday last night? Too.
That's Jim's biggest weakness is his tight end. He's still starting Kyle Pitts.
No, I'm still going to
start Kyle Pitts on all the 0 point games. Wasn't it like three of them this year? Yeah. Sorry. He had 2 0 point games, 2 1.4, 1.6 games. He's been killing it, man.
That could be a difference maker.
I love him so much this year too. I was like, I'm going all in. You got the Cousins factor. I'm like, he's gonna go off.
And Jonnu Smith was his backup last year, or the alternate, I guess. Yeah, everyone was all pissed off at their coach for being like, why is Jonnu Smith getting all these fucking targets and not Kyle Pitts? And Jonnu Smith goes to another team. It's like, oh, he's actually really good.
Yeah, Pitts has been a big disappointment.
Well, I'm also kind of trying to think. I got a couple minutes before I get a jet out. Like, okay, so we're getting to like week 15. So teams like the Ravens, the Bills, especially the Chiefs. Are they going to start sitting some of their guys, maybe? Or, you know, no, maybe give it back?
No one's had a big enough spread to sit until the final week. Maybe.
The Chiefs?
I think if the
Chiefs are
well, the Bills, just already, the Bills already won the division.
Yeah, but you still got the bye to play for. That's why pretty much you might sit 1 week. That's the best you're ever going to get nowadays.
I mean, the Chiefs have done it almost every year they could. So I think the Chiefs would. But who's really starting Chiefs players right now?
Kelsey.
But, yeah, I mean, I'd be kind of worried.
Who's got Pacheco? Is he coming back?
He is back.
Pacheco is back. Yeah.
He looked pretty darn good, too.
I'm going to talk about that in the matchups. Because, yeah, now it's... Well, he was splitting carries. That's the problem. He looked good.
Because I've got... Well, I got Kareem Hunt. But he was on my bench last week, so I didn't really pay attention to how he did. But I didn't see anything from the Chiefs game, so I did not see how Pacheco did. I
saw a couple runs. He looked healthy. So yeah. I wouldn't be
curious. 50-50 though. That was the problem. Now they both might be.
Yeah, but I feel like that's Hunt just been easing him in. I feel like Pacheco has been all right over the backfield in a couple weeks.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like you said, like Hunt's been all right, so I feel like he doesn't just fade into nothing.
Yeah, but maybe like 30% of the carries. I would say it's a 50-50. Pacheco's younger, faster, better, stronger, smarter. How's that go?
Better looking.
Harder, better, faster, stronger?
That's all I was trying to do.
Oh.
I never watched that show. I've seen that meme all the time.
Oh, no. I went Daft Punk. You went $6 Million Man.
I was thinking it was the...
$6 Million Man. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, you're right. Daft Punk.
What was it? We can make him better, faster, stronger? No. Is it faster, stronger, better?
Well, if you can't pick, someone's going to be upset for Jim. Who do you think is going to take? Who do you think is getting the dildo this year? Me or Ashley?
Ashley.
Giving it to Ashley?
Yeah.
Sending it back to the
mess. Staying in the same house. Not even leaving.
Although that would be wild if the slapper and slappy swapped places.
Yeah.
But I still think I still think Ashley's getting slapped.
That is actually a really cool way to look at it. That'd be a cool way to end the season. Complete 180.
Yeah. You have a first to worst and a worst to first.
Yeah. That'd be a way to end the season.
Or no, it's not a snap. Isn't it a knighting?
It's a knighting now.
Knighting now, yeah.
The slap was
the slap is too much.
Well, it's really about degradation. And the knighting is way more degrading.
Person's the only one who was ever degraded. Poor guy.
There's video evidence of the slap. There is
video evidence.
We were analyzing it. There's even like a nice snap. You can hear it in the video. It's great.
Well, I'd hope so. That thing is massive.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's about 6:30, so I should probably scoot out of here.
So darts. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the final power rankings.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is always fun. I like doing this.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I'm enjoying it.
All right, enjoy the rest of the podcast, guys.
Yeah, good luck at darts. I'll talk to you on Thursday for our darts.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll talk to you then. Take care, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
And back to our regular scheduled programming. The Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck. So we'll start with the first game that happened. We had the Lions. They beat the Bears 23-20. So the Bears, once again, find a new way to lose. This one was a tale of two halves. The Bears did absolutely nothing in the first half. They only got one first down the entire half. So pretty pathetic. They did, at the very end of the half, get a fumble. They forced a fumble from, was it Gibbs or was it Montgomery? Do you remember? One of them was
Gibbs,
running it in.
Gibbs was running for like a touchdown almost.
Yeah, you guys were on like the 5-yard line. And it was it gave the Bears a breath of life. They didn't score off of it, but, you know, they prevented an extra 7 from going on the board. And they went into halftime. But in the second half, they kind of came back. Both their offense and their defense. The Lions scored in their first drive of the half, but they were just, every single drive after that, they got stopped. They missed a field goal, so the Bears defense was doing good. The Bears They got the ball on the 1-inch line after a fantastic Lions punt with a bit over 3 minutes left. They went all the way down to the 25 with 45 seconds left on the clock and a timeout in their pocket. The Bears got caught holding. They got back to the 35-yard line with 36 seconds left. Williams got sacked on an untouched defender back up to the 41 with 30 seconds left. So, I mean, this is their game-scoring drive we're talking about here. They were down there in a great position for an easy field goal to go to overtime at least, if not win, and they just kept getting backed up. But, you know, after that last sack, they tried to line up, couldn't do it. Clock kept running. They finally got the snap off with 6 seconds left. And made an incomplete pass and lost the game. Most people probably watched this. It was on Thursday. I was actually at work during this game. It was so dead. I was just kind of watching it on my phone the whole time. I was audibly fucking clapping and cheering for the Bears. I thought at halftime I was like, yeah, this is what I expected. They're gonna get their fucking asses whooped. And then all of a sudden in the second half, like third quarter, late third quarter, fourth quarter, I'm like, oh fuck, these guys might fucking do it. They might just do this thing. And they didn't. So, what were your thoughts? Yeah. I mean, this must have been a wild ride for you.
Well, I mean, I went into last week saying, like, I will never rule out divisional games. They're always like this. This is how divisional games go. Even if one team starts out hot, they always seem to come down to the wire. The Lions' injuries really caught up to them. They lost some defensive linemen. They lost some linebackers in this game. And they're already down to, like, their eighth corner. At number two slot, or no, their number one was gone. They had their number two corner out there. No, we had our number one and number two corner out. So we were starting guys that we haven't been starting all season, guys that they've been picking up off the street, same to the linebackers. And I think it's starting to slow down the defense a little bit. So it allowed the Bears to come back. Williams made a couple great plays. You know, he really showed what he can do in that second half. There was some ticky-tack calls. I think that kind of let it go certain ways, but I think it was bad on both sides. I'm not going to try to say, like, you know, oh, shoot, if that pass interference didn't happen, the Lions wouldn't have been in that position. But what it really comes down to, the Bears played well. They should have beat us. Their coach made one of the greatest mistakes we've ever seen, I think, in clock management. He might not agree, but that's really what it comes down to. Lions lucked out. They won one that they shouldn't have. That happens every couple times a year if you're a good team, so we'll just take it and hopefully it doesn't trickle into next week.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 11-1, you've had some luck on your side. This is the way of it.
100%.
No team goes 11-1 without getting a little bit lucky once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the game, part of life, part of everything. But that's why, go ahead.
Also, that's why you don't take it negatively. You know, if it's a win, it's like, hey, I'm good with it.
And yeah, I didn't even touch on the injuries. Yeah, I felt like every 3 minutes, I saw a Lions D lineman on the ground, being like, "Oh shit!" And one of them, I think Zadarius, I think it was him twice that game. He kept coming back. I think he's playing this week too, right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to miss this week. Oh, he's got a vendetta against the Packers. Oh yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons he wanted to come to Detroit.
We treated him well here. I feel like we didn't.
He got mad at the contract situation. Ever since the contract, he thinks he got screwed. So he's coming
more
for the
money. And he didn't get it. I mean, I get it. Everyone wants more money, but he was older. He kept missing time, and his Packers let him go.
I think he's going to turn the clock back. I'm kind of excited to see what he does. He might be the reason we win. Like, we need someone on defense to step up. Yeah. I feel like you're going to see kind of a Packer-esque game from him.
He's an MVP two of those. Injury timeouts were for Zadarius. I think he went out, left for a while, came back in, got hurt again, left for a while, and he came back in again. So I'm like, I don't know what happened to him, but it clearly wasn't. At least he's not going to miss time with it, which is good. Because a lot of the guys that went down, they are missing time now.
Well, we already lost one of our linebackers for the season. Well, he'll be back for the playoffs, but we lost Malcolm Rodriguez, his backup, who was playing really well for the season. That was one of the guys that got injured. So we have David Long Jr., who we just signed last week. He's starting for us at linebacker. And I think we have another linebacker that I don't know his name that is starting potentially, but we only normally start two linebackers. So Yeah, it's getting pretty thin there. Packers have a good opportunity this week to catch the Lions on a week that they might be the worst roster that they've had all year. So, good time to play.
Yeah, I think the Packers might be getting Jair back this week too, which is that's huge for a secondary. That's like there's been like a, I think one of the better secondaries in the NFL to one of the worst secondaries in the NFL, whether he's there or not. He's, I think he's extremely good.
I think he's the most important player on the team. I honestly do.
On the defense, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess you could probably say Love is more important. But yeah, on the defense, he's definitely the guy who makes everything work.
I'd say Love and Josh Jacobs, too.
I'd still take the defense. They have so many receivers. Yeah, no one there.
If Josh Jacobs isn't there, we don't have a run game.
That's true.
So he's pretty important. Anyways, let's get into the Packers. So same day, Thanksgiving Day. Packers had the night spot. Hopefully everyone skipped the game in between. Giants and Cowboys, who the hell gives a shit? A couple of shitty teams. But the Packers, they beat the Dolphins 30-17. So the weather's getting cold and the Packers are getting hot. Dolphins, they're coming in. They came into this game looking fairly hot. They won their last three. Tua was looking better. Their offense was looking better. This is right around the time the Packers started getting hot last year, and it's looking so again. I mean, Love's had three QBRs over 100 the last 3 weeks. He's only thrown one interception in the last 3 weeks. He's starting to look more controlled. I'm liking it a lot. And for the Dolphins, I mean, this is pretty much a must-win game for them, so they couldn't have been coming in here taking it lightly. I mean, they still had a chance at the playoffs, and by losing this game, they practically eliminated themselves. Not quite, but damn near. So, you can say it's the Dolphins, and they're playing in the cold, which is a thing. They've never won in the cold. They never won under, I think, 40 degrees. They've never
under 40 degrees. They're like 0-4 or something. Going back to Tua.
And you heard about it, and there was interviews. It's like, that's the narrative. We're gonna change that. It's like, it's not really a narrative. It's just a fact.
Right.
You haven't done it, and now you still haven't done it. But yeah, I mean, this game it went pretty damn great for the Packers. Packers got the ball first. They got stopped opening drive, which was kind of a bummer to start off with the momentum. But they punted, and then the Dolphins muffed the punt. Packers recovered it, and we scored anyways. So it was just a great start to the game. This is a great way to kick it off after fucking up an opening drive like that. And the Packers, they kind of did what they've been doing recently. They leaned on Josh Jacobs. They gave him the ball 23 times this game. I'm curious if we'll ease up on him a little, since we're making a playoff run now, if they're going to give him a little bit more rest, because he's getting a lot of carries. But the Dolphins did a good job stopping the run. They only allowed 43 yards out of him. Kind of seemed like that was Miami's focus. They did not want us to run the ball on him, but luckily Josh Jacobs can also receive the ball, and he racked up 74 yards there. He got a touchdown running it. It was a very short one. But, yeah, Packers look good. Love looked good. Again, he had 274 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. 2 weeks in a row with no picks. Like I said, only one in the last 3 weeks. Romeo Dubs wasn't out there. This is, as a Packer fan, this is exactly what we need to see from Jordan Love. This is the time of year to see it. We're on the final stretch. We're in playoff contention. We're in, we're in first round bye contention still. It's a stretch, but if Love gets hot and it keeps playing like this, there's great things to come. Curious what Toyota-thon you thought.
Love.
Yeah.
Toyota-thon Love. That's what I've been hearing. After Toyota-thon, this is what happens.
Toyota-thon.
Isn't that what happened? Like after Toyota-thon last year is when he turned it on, and then this year he did the same thing, so everyone's like going crazy about it on Reddit.
Yeah, but once Toyota-thon ends, that's when we play the Niners. And then we can play the Niners. Then he threw two picks and cost us the game.
So, yeah, I mean, the Packers have been really good the last couple weeks. I mean, I still want to see Love put some more consistency to his game. So obviously having three good games in a row is, you know, a good mark. Not 100% sure on the defenses that he played against. So, you know, if the Lions are a little bit healthier in the secondary, which I think they're going to be this week, it'll be good to see how he plays. Because if he can hold up against a good secondary, I mean, and he starts doing what he did last year, I mean, you're a scary team, right? Like we talked about that last week. It just takes Love kind of clicking with the offense to take this team from being, yeah, okay, fun playoff team to, oh, this is actually a Super Bowl contender. So that's what you're looking to see for the next couple weeks. And at this point, you have to be pretty excited as a Packer fan.
Oh, I'm extremely excited. I mean, one of the takeaways for me was that we stopped. So 2 weeks ago, we stopped Christian McCaffrey. He did almost nothing against us. Granted, you can say what you want about, yeah, Trent Williams wasn't there. Purdy wasn't there. But, I mean, he did nothing against us at all. Like, I think he had, like, 40 yards. And this last week, we stopped Achan, who's been looking like one of the better running backs in the league. Part of it's his receiving game, but once again, he did almost nothing. Like, we stopped two very dynamic running backs 2 weeks in a row, which is very promising because the run game has gashed us early in the season. And for the last couple of years, it's been a huge thorn on our side. And we're going up against the Lions this week, which we have two very good running backs. So if we can keep that rolling. Yeah. I mean, we have to keep that rolling. Like if we can stop those two and stymie their run game, that's a huge difference maker. And it's a difference maker, and it makes a difference in beating the Lions or losing to the Lions. If you can stifle their run game and not let them chunk you, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards at a time.
I mean, our whole team's built around it, right? I mean, that's what they want to do. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you want to have a good running game, but like literally the Lions' whole team is built around the philosophy of how the run game works. Mm-hmm. And everything's built off of that. So yeah, that's your number one goal against us. If they can bring that into the beat the Lions or stop the Lions from rushing over probably 100 yards, I mean, that's a good way to beat them. I still think the Niners game is more of a fluke just because of the injuries like you were talking about. This game is probably a little more legitimate against the Dolphins. So still two good games against two running backs. But yeah, we'll see this week. I think you'll get to learn a lot about your Packers this week.
This is a critical game this week. I'm curious how it goes. So yeah, if we go out there and fall flat, that's a terrible sign. We'll still probably make the playoffs, but you can't be getting... Even if we lose, we have to play well.
So we, yeah.
You can't just be losing embarrassingly to playoff teams if you want to actually make a playoff run.
Well, especially when that's a little injured. I mean, this is the time to have a close game against us. You know, like this is there's take really advantage. No excuses for you guys. Like you got to take advantage of it. This might be the, like I said, this might be the lowest point for us all season as far as injuries. Cause like, I think after this week, a lot of these guys will be coming back, but our left tackle is going to be out. It looks like some of our defensive linemen might be out. We're down multiple linebackers now, even though those guys might be out for the season, but we're still trying to scramble there and find replacements. So, you know, maybe by the playoffs, they're going to be a little bit more up to game speed, but right now they're still learning. So they're going to need a couple weeks of live games to get back up in the swing of things.
Yeah. Is it kind of bullshit that we had to play last Thursday and then this Thursday? Like, why don't we get a 10 day rest? Like most Thursday players do.
I don't like it. I think it's really foolish and I don't know why they did it, but that's just, I guess, how scheduling works now. They don't really give a shit about players. They want to go to 18 games, so I don't think they really care about safety.
Yeah, we'll get into the last matchup for the week. We had the Vikings. They beat the Cardinals 23-22, so very close game. Cardinals had the lead for the vast majority of this one. Both teams were just kind of scoring field goals for the start of the game. Cardinals scored the first touchdown late in the third quarter to get up 19-6 in the Vikings. So, I mean, Cardinals kind of had this one in the bag, but Kyler, he threw up a prayer ball, trying to dodge a sack. He gave up an interception in the fourth quarter. Vikings capitalized, scored in their next couple possessions. They got the lead. Cardinals got the ball back with about a minute left in the game, but they fucked up a snap for a sack. Then they threw a pick, so Vikings, seems they kind of stole this one, but I mean they kept playing the whole game and they won it. So props to the Vikings. I mean, it was a good game. The Vikings played well. Cardinals played well for most of the game, and then, you know, the Vikings just kept alive and stole a game from a team that was looking better for probably like 80% of the game.
Right, and, you know, again, that's what good teams do. Like, if this is reversed and this is the Lions in this situation, this is what you want to see. You know, it's like the Houston game for the Lions. Like, you just want to have your team face adversity and win in it. Vikings had adversity here, but I think they came out and proved, hey, we're just the better team. When they needed to clamp down on defense, they clamped down on defense and made plays. When they needed to make drives to score, they made the drives to score. You know, it's not always pretty, but they're a very good coach team, a very well-coached team, and they have game changers at multiple positions. So it doesn't take them much to turn around a lead.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are impressive this year.
I think Kyle O'Connell deserves Coach of the Year. I think what he's done so far at the Vikings has been very impressive. Like, this is almost like a rebuild year for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they were going into thinking. Yeah, it's a rebuild.
And they lost the quarterback that was supposed to be the, you know, franchise. So, yeah, give O'Connell a lot of credit. That guy is incredible. We have three really good coaches, and he might be the best one.
Yeah. Three, like, young, good coaches, too, so might be around for a long time.
We have a really crazy division, I think, in the next 5 years. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Speaking of division, this is the first time ever a division has had 3 9-plus win teams at Thanksgiving week. So, special thanks to the Bears for blowing 3 games in a row to the division to make sure we all got there. Mainly the Packers, because
they're helping. Yeah. Make us the best division of all time. They'll take and let us stomp on them just so we can get the accolades. Yeah.
Got to get those extra wins. But yeah, it's the NFC North. Standings haven't changed. The Bears lost, but like I said, they're kind of out of it. But all the other teams won, so it remains the same. The Lions are up 1 game on the Vikings and 2 games on the Packers. What do we have? 5 games to go.
5 games to go.
Getting down to the wire.
One of these Lions' best season of all time, and we're only 1 game ahead in the division. No. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was like, I looked at it and I was like, okay, so the Lions could either take first in the NFC, or they're going to be doomed to like fifth in the NFC. Yeah. They can't even take second, third, fourth, any of that shit. So they don't take first. That means either the Vikings or the Packers overtook them. Yeah. Versus like the Eagles are like, they're guaranteed either first or second. Or second or first, I guess, because they're currently second.
Yeah, the Lions, they want to win that division very badly. Yeah.
All it takes is one more loss, and all of a sudden it could be like, fuck, now we're in fifth spot.
Oh, yeah. This game is going to be worrisome if we lose, you know? Like, I'm trying to build up that I think this game is going to be close because of those injuries. You know, I think the Lions are the better team, but I think the injuries are just going to be enough to keep the Packers even as maybe the favorite for this game. That's going to really shake things up in the NFC.
I'm looking forward to this game so much. Like I said, I'm super bummed that I shoot darts during it because I just want to watch this game straight up.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go to darts. I'd be like, I know you probably can't say that, but that's.
I'll probably record it and I'll just watch it again afterwards or the next morning or something so I can see the whole thing. But anyways, let's get into the fab spending. So the Buccaneers defense was the big spender this week by Poor. $6. There's one other bidder, Richard Bid Zero. These guys actually have a great schedule for the rest of the season. They play Vegas, they play the Chargers, they play Dallas, and they play Carolina. So I give this one 2 thumbs up. Poor is probably looking at being in the playoffs, and I think it's a good defense pickup coming to the playoffs.
You can tell that Poor has been doing research. I don't know where he's getting his information, but like, this is the defense that people were talking about a couple weeks ago as maybe like the sleeper defense for the playoff season, just because they have a bunch of good matchups. So I think it's a smart pickup. You know, they're not like a world beating defense or anything like that, but you know, when you have good matchups, you want to take advantage of them. So I think it's a good choice. We'll see if it plays out for him in the playoffs.
And next up, we had Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He's a wide receiver for New Orleans now. He was a former Packer. I'm sure people remember him there. Did he go to the? He was on the Chiefs for a minute.
Then he went to the Bills, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been all over the place.
All over the last couple of years.
But all of a sudden, he's fantastic. So he went to $5 for poor. Lee bid two. This guy just keeps finding the end zone 3 weeks in a row. In 3 weeks, he has four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't think he's good. I watched him as a Packer fan for many years. He's fast. He's super fast. But I never thought he was that great. He dropped a lot. But he's been great recently. So I don't know. I give this one a thumbs up, too. I don't know if he can keep it up, but sometimes
it's kind of a one-trick pony, right? Like, he just runs straight really fast, and he can't catch. But if he starts catching, he's a really good one-trick.
And he's not even – he's older now. He's got to be, like, close to 30, if not 30 already.
He's younger than that, but, I mean, yeah, he's probably around that age, maybe like 27. I would have guessed 27.
Yeah, maybe that's his age then, but
– regardless, I mean, he's still fully – in his athletic prime and everything. So, I mean, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. I mean, this is probably the best 3 weeks of his career.
Oh, absolutely.
On a random team that he got signed on in the middle of the season.
Yeah, he just got there like 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, his first week he did like nothing, but then he had two touchdowns, one touchdown, one touchdown.
Yeah.
So, congrats to him.
Carr is the elixir.
I guess so, yeah.
Is it David Carr? Or no, I just said the wrong
Derek.
One. David's the man.
Derek's
way back.
He's a little before David. Yeah, David was before Derek.
Yeah.
That's all I had for fab spending. The trade block is eliminated. Trades are over. We'll jump into the injuries. So Trevor Lawrence, he had a concussion after a late hit while sliding. This one was the talk of the town for a bit. I mean, dude slid. I can't remember the name of the guy, but Texans.
LZ, Shear, whatever.
Yeah, well, he's kind of got a history of being a little bit dirty player. And Trevor Lawrence is sliding, and dude just runs up and smokes him. Gave him a concussion. So, if you're starting Trevor Lawrence, be careful. If you're starting Jaguars receivers or Jaguar tight ends, be careful because he might not play this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard one to come back from. His hands went up in the air and went stiff for a minute there. Yeah. I mean, it was a couple seconds. But when you see that, they typically don't come back the next week.
Yeah, next up we had Christian McCaffrey. He sprained his PCL, which is like a 6-week recovery time. So he'll be out for the season. That sucks for Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he missed, 8 weeks? Came back for like 3 weeks. Now he's out.
And he talked about it early in the season. You know, is this like the end of McCaffrey's like
I think
longevity
so.
As like the best running back in fantasy? And now we're probably looking at someone who's kind of at the tail end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's 27.
I think he's closer to 30, isn't he?
Maybe he's 28. But he's got tendonitis, which that never goes away.
Yeah.
Like, he went to Germany this year to try to, like, solve it, but...
And he played three games with it, and then look what happened. So, yeah. Like, is this a little more likely to be injured type of situation? Like, it seemed like it was almost inevitable that he was going to get injured with this thing.
Yeah, and it sucks. Don't like to see that for all-time great like that.
Yeah, you don't want to see great football, and we're going to probably lose a couple of years of his career.
Yeah. And then same team, same position, Jordan Mason had a high ankle sprain. So this sucks big time for Scoots because he had Jordan Mason. He traded for Christian McCaffrey. And Jordan Mason was great, and then Christian McCaffrey came back. I'm sure he was happy. He's like, well, if he gets hurt, at least I have the backup. And then, sure as shit, McCaffrey and Mason both went on the same fucking game. It's a high ankle sprain, so I mean, it's usually like it's 2 to 4 weeks, I think, is what they say. But this is not the time of the year you can afford it's not the time of year in fantasy where you can afford to have a guy miss 2 to 4 weeks.
So, and if he comes back, it's like, can you even start him the first week? A lot of those times, you don't really know what you're getting. So, yeah, that's crazy that he lost both of them. I know we're talking about that in the interview with. Or not interview, but talking about the power rankings. We were talking about the same thing, and I didn't even know at that time. To lose both those running backs, you felt so good once McCaffrey came back that, like, man, I made the right decision. I have McCaffrey, Mason. I am set at RB1 all year for the rest of the year. And just, it's gone in one game.
Yep. Just like that. That's all it takes. And then last injury I have for the week was Taysom Hill. He tore his ACL, so he's going to miss the rest of the season. That's a bummer. He just had that crazy game where he had
38 points.
Every stat imaginable. Passing touchdowns, interceptions, running touchdowns, kick return yards, all that shit. Now he's out for the year.
Those are all on Scoot's team, too. Yeah. All three of those guys. Yeah, those are some of the biggest injuries we've had all year, and he just got them all in one week.
Yep. Right before the playoffs, too. Yeah, it's a huge bummer.
Oof. That's hard.
So, yeah. That was three leg injuries in a row. So let's all take a moment and pray for those legs.
I'm sending up my prayers. I already prayed for his leg.
And then we'll jump into the matchup recaps for the week.
That is such a great clip. I'm glad that you're adding that every time.
I think I just want to start ending the podcast with the Jameis Winston quote of the week.
We should. I mean, we could find him.
Like, because he won't be here forever. We could just end like a player or a coach quote of the week. We should both come up with one every week.
This week? Like, he said something crazy after like throwing all the interceptions. He's like, I just got to hope God just doesn't make me throw interceptions next week. And it's like, what are you saying, dude?
Yeah, we should just get like a crazy NFL quote of the week. So like it can be a coach, like the post game interview.
Like I like that idea.
Like, I think we did the right thing.
Yeah, let's do it. We got the quote of the week.
That's your outro. Yeah,
I like it. Great idea.
Leave you with the NFL quote of the week. Yeah. I feel like Jameis Winston could qualify for that almost every week.
Oh yeah,
he's always got something ridiculous.
Well, he's like he's the reason we started, right? So we'll maybe name it after him. What do they always say? Oh, shoot. And they always say, like, oh, it's the Snickers play of the week. You know, we'll have the Jameis Winston quote of the week, and it could be anyone, buddy. But
let's name it after him, anyways. Yeah. But it's something wild that somebody says. But, anyways, yeah, let's get into the matchup recap. So, first match, we have myself versus Carson's. Carson's wins this one 162.28 to 114.72. I didn't even do bad this week. I still fucking lost by almost 50 points. God damn it. Fucking fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really expect to beat the 162 guy, though. I mean, you feel like it's the one score. Like, you got to feel bad. But, yeah, it's always rough, especially when you're struggling. The one good week you have, and you still just get blown out.
Yeah, I mean, highlights this one. We had Jordan Reed. He scored two touchdowns and a whopping 24 yards total for Carson's. But, you know, two touchdowns, that'll get it done. Yeah, Geno Smith, he keeps his run alive for Carson's. He has 10 receptions for 110 yards. No touchdowns again, but, man, Geno Smith's been looking like a huge difference maker at the tight end spot for him. He had Mike Evans. He's looking like he might keep his 1,000-yard season streak alive, even though he missed like three or four games this year. He still might do it because I think he picked up 128 this last week. And I think he only needs to average like 80 yards per game for the rest of the year to do it.
And you know they're going to try, especially if they're out of playoff contention. He's just going to get fed the ball at the end of the year. Because
everyone's rooting. They're not even out of playoff contention, though. I mean, they're only one game back on the Falcons, I think.
I'm just saying, like, if it's like the final 2 weeks and they know they're like mathematically eliminated, they're just going to be like, yo, Evans, let's get you that record.
Yeah. On the flip side, if they're trying to win, they're probably going to throw it to him a bunch anyway. So,
yeah, it's pretty good to throw against future Hall of Famers.
Yeah. And then for myself, the only highlight I had was I started the Steelers D, which they scored a touchdown. They had an interception. They had two fumble recoveries and they scored 14 points because they allowed fucking, I don't even know how many points. Way too many from the Bengals. And then we had Tiff versus yourself. You lost another one, Jim. Tiff won this one, 129.02 to 118.72. So, it's you can't win them all. Like I said, when we interviewed Hughes, your losses don't. You could lose this one and the next one. You still get the number one spot.
Yeah. So it shows, though, like, we talked about Tiff being the person that can upset me. I mean, she just did it, right? She just beat me. So, I mean, it shows how easy it is for me to lose. So I'm not feeling like, yeah, I'm probably the favorite, but that doesn't give me like that much a higher percent win percentage over the rest of the field. So it's going to be a tight race.
So yeah, Josh Allen, he throws a touchdown pass to himself for TIFF. So that was pretty nice. So he got 4 for the passing touchdown, 6 for the receiving touchdown, and then I think it was like 10 yards. So maybe the one extra 10 yards. Something. Yeah. But that was the snow game. He also ran one in. I mean, the dude was just in Superman mode. He wanted that win. I mean, they were dominating the whole time, but you love seeing Josh Allen.
Especially when they're having fun. He's kind of like that Favre, you know, energy where it's just like when he's having fun. It's just like, oh, you know, bad things are happening to the other team. Like he's going off. You could see the smile on his face after that Cook run. Like they just knew that game was already over and they were just going to start, you know, just taking over the game. And that's exactly what happened.
That was awesome. That was a very fun game. DJ Moore, he got done for TIFF this week. He had 97 yards and a touchdown. You like to see that. He wasn't doing too much in the early season, but he's been picking up a little bit lately. Kelsey, he had an all right game for TIFF. Bucky Irving, he had a fantastic game for you. That was good to see. That was a good.
He's looking like he might be one of the better players to finish out the year. Like, you know, we always like to talk about league winners. That's the type of guy that's like doesn't really do much early in the season, but then starts heating up at the end of the year. And he's like that difference maker. You get like a top 5 running back or top 5 receiver. He's been incredible the last like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm really pumped. And the best thing is that White has been getting less and less work. Bucky's been getting more and more work. Like it's about 70% now in Irving's favor, where it used to be in White's favor, and it just slowly keeps getting more and more into Irving's favor, which kind of proves to you that he's a rookie and he's just that good. He's just proving that he is dominant. And if you watch him, he could have had another 3 or 4 touchdowns the last couple, like 2 games. So like he was even closer to like 30 point games. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. I tried to trade him multiple times this year to people and I always got turned down. I was like, all right, I'll just hold on to him. And then it worked out for me.
And last one I had was Ja'Marr Chase. He had an all right game. I've already brought up if you're concerned about him getting shut down at the end of the season with the Bengals looking like they're out of contention. We talked about that already. Then we had Leavers Mike. Mike wins this one 109.34 to 101.16. I don't have a lot of notes from this one. It wasn't that high scoring of a game. Jane Daniels, he had another great game from Mike. Mike started him. Started a good quarterback this week. Joe Mixon, he kind of got back to form after a bad week last week for Lee, but not too many highlights. Like I said, 109 to 101, so nothing crazy happened in this one. Then we had Scoots versus Jackie. So Scoots wins this one 124.24 to 104.78. Brock Bowers for Jackie. My God, this guy... He might be. I was thinking about this. Like, is he going to be a first round pick next year in fantasy?
No, because he doesn't have Pat Mahomes throwing the ball. I feel like that's kind of was built into Kelsey's dominance. I feel like he's going to be a late second round pick.
I mean, I guess Gronk was, but he had a Hall of Famer throwing him the ball too.
It's too hard with not knowing the quarterback, new offensive coordinator probably because they're going to probably fire the coach. There's just too many unknowns yet. I would say like late second seems pretty high to me, especially after what happened this year. If all the tight ends, everyone's going to be a little lukewarm, I think, next year, like taking tight ends high. So
true. You get that burn factor.
That's what I'm going to say. I would say late second round, calling it right now.
Jackie might take him first overall if she gets the opportunity.
And we got to be worried about his TIFF. Is this the new Travis Kelce?
Oh, yeah.
She might have the hots for him, you know?
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Did you watch that game?
No, I didn't.
I don't know why I watched it, but I definitely put it on. I watched near the end, and wow. I didn't even got to watch him in a game yet. He is so smooth for a 6'7", like 260-pound tight end or something. Isn't he huge? Like, I think he's supposed to be like, big. Massive.
That was on Friday. That's probably why you watched it.
Oh, right. You were at work.
I thought Friday at 2 o'clock or something.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, there's a football game on. Okay. But yeah, it's different. You watch him and you watch other tight ends in the league. He does things that other tight ends can't do. So I'm excited to see how his career unfolds. But if there's someone that's going to be another first round pick at tight end, that's going to be the guy.
I mean, fuck, I don't know. Devontae Adams was there the last 2 years with the same quarterbacks and he didn't look this good.
Right.
So It's different. Said about how fucking good he is to be that difference maker. Yeah, other notes in that matchup, we had Keenan Allen. He had a great game for the Bears. I'd like to see that. Trey McBride, he continues to stay as a target hog in Arizona. Like, first look, he's a fantastic tight end this year. It's tons of targets, tons of receptions.
If he had a couple touchdowns, he would be being talked in the same light as Brock Bowers. And touchdowns are very random. So, I think his season's just as impressive as Bowers.
Mm-hmm. Neither one of them have a lot of touchdowns.
Bowers has like four, but enough to McBride set himself like apart from McBride has zero.
Oh, really?
Like he has zero? No touchdowns in the year. Yeah, that's like the big deal. I didn't even know that until I was watching the game.
He has one. Because someone else grabbed it, fumbled it, and he jumped on it. So it's not a receiving touchdown.
That's probably where they caught that.
But he got like a fumble recovery touchdown.
They're talking about that in the game. They're like, "Oh, he has no receiving touchdowns." They specifically said receiving touchdowns, which I thought was kind of weird. So that makes sense.
And the last one I had, this one, Jackie started Kirk Cousins. He threw four interceptions and no touchdowns. So Jackie got 2.1 points.
Did she start him on his five interception game too?
Did he have a five interception game?
I thought he had like a crazy one earlier in the year. Didn't he have like another one that was like a bunch of interceptions? Maybe I'm thinking the Goff one and getting confused. But I thought Cousins had one really bad game.
Well, he might have at least thrown a touchdown in that game to kind of counteract it. But yeah, that one he threw zero. He's had some bad games. He has not been great this year.
Maybe it was a bunch of fumbles. Yeah, he's only throwing two in every other game that was the most he threw. So
yeah, he might have fumbled some too. Our next match, we had Poor versus Vicky. So Vicky wins this one 127.94 to 77.76. So, I mean, Poor, you're not going to win with that score against anybody. That's rough. But highlights this one, we had Vicky. She left the high scoring player of the week, Jerry Jeudy, on her bench. So she missed out on 36 points from him. I would say it's rough, but well, I mean, it might be rough. I mean, points are going to matter for tiebreakers in this league for playoff contention. So,
well, and he's been good the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, if she was paying attention, he might have been someone worth starting. But she does have a lot of good receivers. She's just got, like, if we were still in the trading situation, there's no reason she shouldn't have traded one of her receivers. But by the time Jeudy got hot, the trade deadline was pretty much at the end. So, he's hard to start a couple weeks ago. But yeah, the last couple weeks now, after this week, you're pretty much starting him in every lineup, I think.
Yeah, she should be. Yeah, he's been very hot since they got the new quarterback. Also on Vicky's team, she had Josh Jacobs. He did it again. He had 117 yards, total yards, not rushing yards, but total production yards. And the touchdown, I mean, that guy is just, besides, I don't even know if any running backs getting the ball more than him. Maybe Saquon and Derrick Henry, but that dude's the bell cow.
I mean, he's in the same category as him as far as carries. Yeah. He might not be quite as dominant as those two, but he's very close.
But just getting that percentage of the snaps and the touches for a good offense, that's extremely valuable. And they've been using him more and more as the year goes on. So,
well, there isn't many running backs like him in the league anymore. You know, Saquon is probably one of them. You know, even Henry loses a lot of passing down work. Jacobs doesn't really lose much of anything.
Yeah.
So Jacobs, he was, again, I was talking to Heaves earlier before you came on. I told him, like, the three running backs I really like this year were Jacobs, Saquon, and Henry. And they all were, like, switched on to new teams and went from bad situations to better situations. And, like, their value didn't even change. Like, if anything, they went down in value, I felt like. I was just shocked at how people treated those three players, because I thought all three of them were worth more than where they went. If I didn't get Henry, I would have probably drafted Jacobs at my one spot if Henry was already gone. I really like Jacobs this year.
It's been the year of the running back this year, too. Like, running backs are back into the forefront.
Defense got too small to counteract all the spread offenses. And now teams are being reactive, and then they're switching over to these more dominant run games, because now there's all these really small linebackers that are basically safeties. You put a freaking fullback on one of those guys, they're done. Yeah. Or they're having to tackle Josh Jacobs. They're a 220-pound linebacker trying to tackle Josh Jacobs at a full head of steam, who's like 230 pounds, who can also juke, lower his shoulder. Like, it's hard for some of those smaller linebackers. So I think you're just seeing like the league kind of go in its ebb and flows. And right now the running backs are going to be back in style because of how the defense is adjusted to Pat Mahomes back when he first started coming in. And
all the I love watching
the main thing.
Yeah. I love watching Josh Jacobs when he runs, like even when he's on the sideline, he never goes out of bounds on purpose. Like every single time he's like, nah, if you want me to go out of bounds, you better fucking tackle me. Cause I am not willingly going out to save the tackle. Every time he's like, nah, fucking, I'll plow into you. You plow into me. If you can push me out of bounds, good for you. But if not, I might get another 5 yards. Might go to touchdown. Like, I love that kind of physicality from him. It's so fun to watch.
I mean, obviously, Barry Sanders is my favorite player of all time. He's the most exciting player of all time. But if I had to pick a more aesthetically pleasing running style, I would take Earl Campbell because he's just that guy who does the same thing. It's just like, you know, it's the Earl Campbell, modern Earl Campbell play style. It's just like, it's so fun to watch those guys break tackles. Todd or Montgomery does the same thing on the Lions. It's just like, you'll see it and it's just like, oh, this linebacker is going to take him down. And they just like, he ricochets off of him and then he gets 5-6 more yards. It's like, man, that is just one person being way more determined, skilled than the other guy to make that happen. It's just so fun to look at just little physical dominance. And yeah, Josh Jacobs does that all the time. And I always loved him on the Raiders. He's fun to watch. He's been fun to watch on the Packers as much as I displease of it, but he is a guy that I've always liked.
Yeah. And then
he's shifty. Very shifty. Yeah.
He's shifty and he can catch too. Like he's extremely good. Then from four, we have a little bit of an up-oh situation. We have Pacheco comes back, who poor boy did pick up, but now he's kind of splitting carries with Kareem Hunt, so we'll see what happens with that. For poor boy's sake, you hope it's not just turned into like a 50-50 thing, because then you have two running backs that they're kind of worth starting, but they're running backs two instead of just having a solid running back one.
I think it's they're slowly getting Pacheco in, and then phase Hunt out. I know we talked about it earlier, but I really do think that's what you're seeing. I mean, it's his first game back after missing like 8 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to give him the full workload. The fact that he actually got 50-50, I think, is very encouraging.
That might be true. But yeah. Vicky, she had quite a few high-scoring players this week. Terry McLaurin, he led the pack with 23.3. Poor's team just did not show up this week. It happens to the best of us and the worst of us, too. And the last match we had, Richard versus Ashley. Ashley wins 101.6 to 88.66. Also, Richard scored under 90 this last week, too, without the buys. Very interesting. But But Ashley started Miami's defense against the Packers, which was a bit of a whoopsie. They scored -2. Baker missed a little bit of time in this game. Someone stepped on his leg, I think. They stepped on his calf, so he missed a little bit. So he only ended the game at 10.2, but luckily he came back in. So, you know, that's big for Ashley because she has one of those top-tier quarterbacks, and without him, if she loses Baker, she'd be pretty toast, but she still got him for now. Bijan continues to look hot. He scores 22.5 for Ashley. And then the only note I had was Nick Westbrook Ikinney. I don't even know how to pronounce the dude's name.
I don't know how to say his last name.
19.6 for Ashley. I don't even know who the fuck it was. I was like, good pickup, good start, I guess.
I think he did good the week before. He's been one of those guys on the Titans that's always been kind of like good in limited situations. You know, every team has like one of those players that they're not a starter, but like whenever they're called upon, they normally end up performing well, but they're never good enough to be a full-time starter. I think that's kind of who that Nick Westbrook guy is. I've seen his name pop up before in the Titans. I know he's like a fan favorite, so useful during injuries, but probably not any other time. But hey, right now, if he's starting, he's getting the playing time. He put up good numbers, and he can continue it. He's done it in the past.
That's it. Matchups are done, and the show is pretty much done. Got any parting words for anybody? Gotta bring it on.
Packers. Those are my words. Just start chanting that FTP, FTP. No, I'm pumped. I'm pumped for this game. Like I said, I'm trying to set the expectations for myself. I honestly think the Lions are going to lose this. I just think everything's kind of leading up to them losing. So I'll be very happy if they win. I just don't think they're going to win all their division games. if I had to pick a game they're going to lose, this just seems like the right one, the way the Packers have been playing lately, how we are. But it doesn't mean I'm any less excited for it. I can't wait. The Packers are the one team I want to beat every year. So I'm all for just, I want you guys to feel it bad. I just want it to be a blowout if it ends up that way. And then Love throws in there a couple picks and then you're like, oh shoot, everything we watched last couple weeks means nothing. That's what I hope happens. But either way, it's going to be a great game. I'm going to love watching it. Packers win, you know, I'm excited just to see good football. So, and if the Lions win it all and all the other teams are this good, that just proves even more how good the Lions were this year. So bring it.
Well, I wish you bad luck. Yeah, we can end it there. Thanks everybody for listening. Tune in next week. We'll be back for the pre-playoff special episode. And we're going to do Carson said something about doing awards, so we're going to do a little something with that next week. We might make it more official next season, maybe get the everyone in the league to vote on stuff, but this year, it'll just be me and Jim. We're going to kind of go over, we're going to kind of get some categories and just, we'll give our cases for each category and who we think should win each one and just kind of debate a little bit about it. So thanks, Carson, for kicking that out there. That sounds like it is actually going to be a lot of fun.
I think this is a good time to kind of say too, like, don't feel afraid to offer suggestions to us. I mean, we're
absolutely,
we're learning. We don't really know what we're doing. You know, we're just kind of doing this for fun. That was one of the best things we could have done all year was what Carson just suggested. I think that's a really cool way to end the first regular season of the podcast. We can make it a tradition moving forward. And honestly, it can help people participate maybe in the future. I don't know. Anyone else talked to Kyle, but Kyle kind of made a comment about how we could even put in like voting for these awards near the end. So I believe that'd be an awesome way to end every regular season on this podcast.
Yeah, it'd be super fun. Especially like the shit, especially the stuff that's like league related. Like,
yep.
I'll put up a picture of the draft board. I'm like, who had the worst draft pick this year? Who had the best draft pick this year? And who fucked up by trading the best draft pick this year? That kind
of
shit.
What was the best trade of the year?
Yeah. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
I think it will be a lot of fun.
We'll have that on the next episode. But for now, good luck to everybody. I mean, Jim's in the playoffs, but and me and Ashley are out of the playoffs, but everyone else, good luck to you. It's going to be a wild end of the season, so I wish you all luck. Hopefully you make the playoffs. Good luck to you. Thanks for listening. And we'll end it with the Jameis Winston quote of the week.
I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's not me.